Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Welcome back. We are broadcasting live. We are here at the Broad Shop. We are in Kenosha, and we are down here for the Broad Bowl One, for lack of a better term. It's the Packers and the Bears. Their 200th meeting coming up at Lambeau Field this Sunday, noon kickoff. Packers looking to clinch themselves a position in the postseason. Bears trying to hang on. Packers trying to eliminate that. Bears trying to avenge what happened earlier this season. And a lot happening. We are down here. Compliments of our friends at Kenosha Subaru and the Share the Love event going on through January 2nd as well. And also our friends at Cousin Subs. Don't forget at Cousin Subs, they have delivery available. Go to CousinSubs.com. And they are the official sub sandwich of the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network. I've been listening to this guy for a long, long time. Seen him a couple of times, never really conversed, and now we get a chance to. Dan Bernstein from 6-7 to the Score out of Chicago here today, where their station is across the way from us. So how you doing, buddy? Good to talk to you.
I'm good. This has been really a tremendous experience getting the stations together. The turnout is just phenomenal at a very, very festive place going into a festive football weekend.
Yeah. Now, at this point, it helps that obviously there's a lot on the line for both teams. The Bears have a belief that they're still going to get into the postseason. The Packers looking to try to rejuvenate themselves a little bit and maybe get back into a little bit better mode. Give me your thoughts about the first game of the season. I had said, with all the hype, Hub Arkish, I think, said it on, might have been your program. He said there might be more hype for this game than there was for that NFC Championship game years ago because of the bans, because they're shutting down Grant Park, because of everything that was going on. And I was saying earlier today on your station, when I went into the Sheraton Hotel, we stayed there for 2 days in anticipation of the game, there was more Bears fans. Usually it's all Packers fans coming to town. There was more Bears fans there because they wanted to be a part of the festivities. It seemed like there was the hype, and then in a very ugly game, the Packers got a win. It just wasn't expected, and it seemed to kind of derail things a little bit, didn't it?
Well, I think there's a couple aspects to talk about. To talk about the way the Bears now, in retrospect, have talked about the hype, and then there's what happened in the game itself. Talking about the game first, one issue with Matt Nagy as he's developing as a coach is understanding that the game for which you plan, the game you envision in your head, is only sometimes the game that happens in front of you.
Right.
And you can spend all of your game planning, all of your practices, all of your walkthroughs, all of your scout team work, getting an idea of what it's supposed to look like. And then you get punched in the mouth, and then somebody like Mike Pettine's like, oh yeah, okay, see, I saw this coming and I saw that coming. Mm-hmm. I'm going to take that away from you. But then to so rigidly keep trying to do the things that aren't working because you weren't ready to pivot or you didn't want to admit that quickly that it's time to maybe we need to just pound the run because we have to run the ball more and just forget about it. And I think that was a young coach, frankly, making a mistake and not putting his players in the best position to win because he couldn't get away from what he thought the game was supposed to look like. Now, with that said, and bookending it with this game, just in this past week, the Chicago Tribune reported it, and we've heard some of the comments now. Multiple Bears players and offensive line coach Harry Hiestand have, after this stretch of 4 wins in 5, said, you know, the pressure's off now. We could play free and easy.
Right.
You know, we're not playing with the pressure. And I'm thinking, you know what? What does it say about you?
Right.
My first thought was, what does it say that you couldn't handle those expectations? Like you say, Bears 100. It was intense.
It was huge.
I will give you that. And it's, but that's supposed to be good intensity. You are expected to rise to that after all of what happened last year. And now to say, to admit that you didn't, it makes me wonder about what your team's made of. It also makes me wonder logically, and this just, it's always bugged me, the ex post facto logic games here. When did it make you bad at something, and what did it make you bad at?
Exactly.
Right? Like, if this pressure got to you, which pass fell incomplete? Which block was missed? Which hole did the running back not hit because of pressure
and
expectations?
Can your adrenaline be too high?
Right,
or
your concentration drop off in the moment, actually mindful of expectations? To me, it's just kind of an admission that you're a little more comfortable now.
Yeah. And so my question would be, then what did the postseason teach you last year? You know, because had you advanced, the pressure would have been much more magnanimous at that point in time. So, you know, a game in the first game of your season at home should have been that pressure pack. I understand it, but on another level, I also think it's just admitting that you didn't handle the offseason very well and your preparation for the incoming season either. Aaron Rodgers, for whatever reason, him and Brett Favre have been Bears killers. That's always seems to be the X factor in this game. Is that, in your opinion, the X factor in this game as well?
It's quarterbacking in the NFL. I mean, it's two of the best to ever do it, and it's having seen it so many times. Even when the pocket starts to collapse, even when you see 52 just screaming off the edge and getting the angle, all I'm thinking is, and a lot of Bears observers are conditioned to thinking, how is this going to go wrong? Because it always seems, and I don't have the metrics in front of me to back this up, but it always seems like the near escape, especially by Aaron Rodgers, when it looks like, oh, the pocket's collapsing and you can't see him for a moment on the TV angle, and then he backspins, and then your heart sinks.
Because you know it's coming.
You know somebody's wide open, and you know that he's got his internal clock is telling him someone is somewhere. Now, I don't know if those relationships are there with these receivers the way they were in the past.
It's not. But
even so, he's good enough to direct traffic. He's good enough to have them, after a couple games, get a sense of where he wants them to be.
How loud do the words of Tremont Williams, a veteran corner for the Packers that have been there a long time, won a Super Bowl with that team, how loud did the words, "We just wanted Mitch to play quarterback," resonate in Chicago?
Did you hear his press conference yesterday?
I did, and I think it's a giant steaming pant load myself.
I think that Trubisky handled the initial answer very well.
Yeah.
I think he brushed it off, and it doesn't worry me. I don't care what anybody says. I didn't hear it. Of course he heard it.
Yes.
Players hear everything.
Yes.
And as Lawrence Holmes pointed out yesterday on The Score, that it did seem that the subsequent answers from Mitchell Trubisky after that question had him back in his head a little bit.
Yeah.
Like, it clearly did get to him. So you know what? Show it on the field.
Right.
You go out there and say, oh, you want me to play quarterback? You want me to play quarterback? Watch this. I'm going to play quarterback. He hasn't done that yet.
Yeah, the argument always was that, like Trubisky and even going back to Jay Cutler, always was, well, they're going to give you two. It's whether or not you're going to catch it and whether or not you capitalize on it. It's the smarts within the quarterback that may. I said, look, after that game, I listened. As a matter of fact, I was listening to Lawrence coming home because we were coming home late that night. And I was listening to Trubisky, and I thought, what separates him from guys like Brady and Breeze and Rodgers and all these other quarterbacks? And I said, it sounds like the kid is sitting at a table with two hats in front of him, ready to make a decision on what college he's going to go to. It doesn't sound like a professional quarterback speaking intelligently and deciphering what is coming at him, not only from the media, but what would be coming at him from on the field. Is that what separates Mitch Trubisky from being a good quarterback and the quarterback that he's expected to be, is the in-between-the-ears?
Well, that is with the presumption that his lack of polish as a talker is indicative of a lack of power in the processor.
Yeah.
And it's possible. There are guys who can't talk, who sound like they don't know what's going on, who then get on the field and can do it.
Yeah.
So I've always had questions about Mitch's head. To be frank, I've always had questions about, is he seeing and recognizing things fast enough? Is he reading things fast enough? Or do things have to be simplified for him? And the fact is, we know this. We were talking with Robert Mays from The Ringer, who was having a discussion with another general manager in the NFL, who said the Bears run one-third of the Andy Reid offense. They run 50 of the 150. I think that gives you your answer.
Yeah.
I think it may be that, yes, he's also not great at expressing himself. I don't think his limitation is expressing himself at a microphone. But if, in fact, it's the same causal relationship with what makes it difficult for him to process football information, then we have the answer to your question.
The argument I get from Bears fans consistently is the quarterback play in Green Bay has been superior. My question to you is this, and I've listened to you guys years and years, and you break it down as well as anybody, but what has been the innate ability for the Bears organization not to find that next or a great quarterback in all the years of this franchise? Because it seems like there would be so many opportunities, and they just haven't been there.
It completely defies logic if when you look at the number of people involved, the number of people making decisions on draft picks, the number of coordinators, the number of quarterbacks, coaches. You would think by dumb luck, it would, in all seriousness, by randomness, it would be their turn. It would be their turn to get a guy, to have a guy. And I wish I had a pat answer for you, a satisfying answer for why a heritage original franchise still has, whether people can still make arguments that Sid Luckman is the best quarterback they've ever had.
Yeah.
It shouldn't be that way at a time when quarterbacking is this important, but I think that's if I could answer that, I'd be working there.
Your prediction on the game on Sunday?
I haven't had a real strong feeling about it, and I've never been particularly good at predicting games. I do think it's going to be a competitive game.
I think it's close.
I think headed into the fourth quarter, it's going to be one of these that goes either way, that could easily be decided by a Khalil Mack strip sack falls on the ball in the end zone. Oh, that happened. Just as it could, another one of these Aaron Rodgers Houdini acts when you're just, he leaves you holding the bag and somebody's prancing in the end zone, jumping into the stands.
I did a show last night just across the street, as a matter of fact, and I called the shot of Packers going to win 24-21, but it's not because the Packers go out and steal it. It's because Eddie Pinheiro misses the last-second field goal.
It certainly could happen.
So I can listen to you guys on Monday.
Well, I hope you do that anyway. But both teams could play well.
Yeah.
The way things are going right now. But the Bears are a more talented roster top to bottom. The Packers have Aaron Rodgers, and the quarterback position matters more than any other single position in professional sports.
It certainly puts your thumb on the scales. There's no doubt about it. It's great to talk to you. I'm glad to have you on the program. We got to do it again sometime real soon.
Absolutely,
okay,
my pleasure.
We'll hook it up with Mitch the Mafioso over there, without a doubt. There you go. Dan Bernstein from 670 The Score joining us for a couple of minutes. We are glad to have him. We're glad to have you.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.